Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Minister of Finance, may I be the first to wish you a happy Hobbit Day and say that New Zealand has a vibrant screen industry.
Stephen Joyce extracting maximum political capital for his National-led government out of the Hobbit premiere in Wellington.
The Hobbit films have led to around 3,000 jobs to date, with about $1.5 million per week being paid to the crew. There has also been significant flow-on effect. 93,000 hotel beds have been occupied, 1,800 rental cars. The government realised the benefits that would come from making these films in this country and is proud to have actively supported The Hobbit from the very beginning.
Unlike Labour, who Mr Joyce said had opposed it.
I note with interest, though, that these people, who are loosely described by the media as Hobbit haters, have clearly changed their tune, with a number of their rank now attending the red carpet world premiere of The Hobbit in Wellington this afternoon.
Labour's response was a question from Trevor Mallard, pointing out that The Hobbit was made with a subsidy scheme brought in by his party and opposed by John Key when he was in opposition.
Was the large screen film grant extended by this government? And if so, did he consult with the Prime Minister, who previously called it a waste of money?
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Mr Speaker, on behalf of the Minister of Finance, I understand it was extended, yes.
Mr Joyce then took a question from his own backbench.
The Honourable To Hannaday.
What reports has he seen about other potential productions we might see in New Zealand?
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Well, Mr Speaker, word has reached me of a drama that is currently playing out, which might be suited to the big screen, or perhaps go straight to DVD. In this particular performance, it's a very similar movie, the Fellowship is led by a...
Shouts of the Hollow Men, the title of a book and movie about National's 2005 election campaign, were followed by this request from Labour's chief whip, Chris Hipkins.
Mr Speaker, I seek leave to table a DVD copy of a film called The Hollow Men, showing that it's already made it to the big screen.
Order.
The political point scoring continued with the Prime Minister, John Key, answering questions about National's home insulation policy.
Let's have a think about the insulation under a National government, because in the last 4 years, this government's insulated 188,500 homes. Let's compare it to the previous Labor government that insulated 4,000.
Order. Order. It would now be quite helpful for the Prime Minister to actually answer the question.
It got so bad that the Speaker had to bring both main parties to heel.
Now, order, both sides of both National and Labour will comply with the rules of this House.
And one rule of the House in particular was under scrutiny by members of the Privileges Committee, as Rhys Lyon reports.
MPs are covered by an absolute privilege which ensures what they say is not subject to defamation laws. But a parliamentary committee has met to discuss the scope of that privilege. The Supreme Court has ruled that advice from officials to ministers is not itself a parliamentary proceeding and can therefore be subject to defamation suits. That was of concern to Clerk of the House, Mary Harris.
There's a real chilling effect on the advice that ministers and members might receive, and that will impact on the way the House does its business, the effectiveness of holding the government to account. If officials are very guarded about what they feel they can say to ministers, that accountability in the process is affected.
The issue of what is and isn't covered by absolute privilege arose in November 2007 after the Deputy Secretary for the Environment gave advice to the then Environment Minister and was later sued for alleged defamatory statements provided in that advice. Speaking to the Privileges Committee, Law Professor Philip Joseph of Canterbury University agreed with Mary Harris and used details of the case in question as an example of why the court ruling could be problematic.
If a public servant such as Mr Gale, the Deputy Secretary in Lee's case, cannot approach these matters confident in the knowledge that that person has absolute protection against any legal liability, then, as I state in my submissions, people like Mr Gale, once bitten, twice shy, are going to be more economical with the way they put the information before ministers, who must front up in question time and answer questions in the House.
Professor Joseph said potentially even the Clerk of the House could be caught up in defamation actions.
What if, unbeknownst to the clerk, there is a defamatory sting to a question? She publishes that question by putting it on the order paper. She's exposed to liability. Now, that is just preposterous to suggest.
Professor Joseph made a recommendation.
I have taken the view alongside the clerk that I think it's time now for the House to take its own remedial action by way of legislation.
Law Professor Philip Joseph of Canterbury University, and for now the matter remains before the Privileges Committee.
That report from Rhys Lyon, I'm Tom Frewen, and this programme was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.